Well, welcome to each one. It's been very good to be here. Autumn and Nate, welcome. And it's good to see you. For some odd reason this morning, the song kept going through my mind and just kept going through my mind. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before. Then Jonathan led the love of God. I couldn't even sing. Here lately, I've just sensed the love of God. And we serve an awesome God. It's just the way it is. And as I was looking at these two verses for today, and it was just, didn't really go with the rest, but it's just, man, what am I going to preach on these two verses? It's just, what's in it? What's in this for, what can I learn? And I believe that a truth has been revealed to me. I see it as I haven't before. And so, I guess, listen in as I teach myself. We're continuing our journey in Sermon on the Mount. You know, it's been a little over 2 years now. My first message, Blessed are the poor in spirit who mourn, was back in July of 2016. And that's where it began. And so I thought, well, I should maybe do a kind of overview. Finally, I thought, well, that'd be a whole message, just an overviewing. I mean, we're not going to take that time. Then I thought of something that another pastor told me is, preach the people hungry. You know, so many times we try to say everything, and we actually begin to bore them. Now we've lost them. But if we can teach that they're still hungry, that they want to hear more. So let's look at the text for today. By the way, when I Googled for an image of this, the right way, I saw this and it went exactly, I mean, it was just what God has revealed to me. And so, Matthew 7, verse 13 and 14. Enter by the straight gate, pauses there. Enter by the straight gate. That's what Jesus is commanding. Enter by the straight gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. And I kind of see this as, you know, Jesus is coming to his enclosing. And it's actually an invitation now. Enter in. Enter into my kingdom now. Enter in through this the straight gate. He's asking them and us today to choose life. And in this life, there are many, many, many choices that we have. We're constantly making choices. And how we view life determines the choices we make. And it also determines our choices are determined by have we been crucified with Christ or not? And everything in this world also has two aspects. How it looks at the moment, right now, and how it will look in the time to come. You know, the only way to get our values right is to see not the beginning, but the end of the way. You know, sometimes I'm very guilty in this. I see the present and become overwhelmed by the present rather than choosing to see what is the end, what is the end goal even, and what is, see the beginning from the end. Then it won't consume me so much if I have the right perspective. So, see things not in the light of time, but in the light of eternity. What does this do in light of eternity? The choice I make today, what is that doing in light of eternity? It will affect how we choose, what decisions we make, how we decide. And then when that becomes my focus, see, I'm talking to myself, because I need this. I needed this message. And when that becomes my focus, I'll make wiser choices. And now getting to the way, the two ways that is, and we may think it's so easy to determine that broad way. You know, that we may think it's so easy to determine that. It's not. It is very, very deceiving. It can be that way, I should say, maybe. But I see in Scripture where they write that it isn't. It's not easy to determine. Proverbs wrote it two times. There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. They thought it was the right way. We'll get to this later then, not today, but in future message. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? They thought they were on the right road. They thought they were on the right way. Then back in Matthew 25, then they also will answer me, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty, or a stranger or naked, or sick or in prison, and did not minister to you? So this tells me the broad way is not always noticeable. You see, I, in my flesh, can do a lot of good. I can be busy all of my life doing good things. And it appears like it's everything's good. But when it's all motivated by myself, I'm on the wrong way. I'm on the broad way. Very humbling to me. It's so deceiving. And the scary part of deception is when you're deceived, you don't know it. Because once you know it, you're no longer deceived. Deception is, it's blind. And it's humbling to think of that way. And just because I say that I'm saved doesn't mean I am saved. And one thing I want to encourage is, so let's not just do things so we're doing things, so that it appears good. More and more I'm seeing in life is all, our Christian walk is all to be filled with the Spirit and walking in and after the Spirit. Let's be intentional and seek the Holy Spirit for direction so that we are in His will and in His way. You know, let's be this river that is flowing in one direction. It's got a focus going there. He's focused in. Let's be focused in on the Holy Spirit and not be this swamp. You know, the difference between a river and a swamp. The river is flowing. It's going in one direction. It's got a purpose. The swamp, it just sits there. But yet, it's busy, 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 busy. There, you're just all over the place and not getting anywhere. It just sits there, and it becomes stagnant. So my plea is, let's not be doing things because we've done it for 50 years. You know, and I'm not saying it's wrong, but we need to sometimes, maybe... This is what God has been pressing on my heart. We teach to wait on the Lord, wait on the Lord. And do we as a congregation, have we stopped maybe for 2 months and do nothing? And we are waiting on the Lord. Is this what we are supposed to be doing? That's just a burden on my heart. Let's stop doing faith mission. Let's stop doing whatever we're doing and let's just focus in on the Spirit. Lord, is this for us today? Then if it is, hallelujah, let's go ahead. But let's not just be doing it so we're doing something. That is not Holy Spirit led. That is fleshly led. Just so we're doing something. We're mandating it. We're doing it. Does it make sense, what I'm saying? I'm not being critical of what we're doing. Please don't think of that way. I'm not saying let's stop faith mission. I'm not saying that, please. But have we stopped and just considered, are we doing... Are we in the Holy Spirit? Because if we just do it because we've always done it, it can get dangerous. We can be on the broad way and we don't even know it. Does that make sense? Does that kind of make sense where I'm going here? We may be busy doing good things, but are we doing the right thing? Oh, I don't want to sound critical. Do we have this passion? Do we have this thing where we just can't let it go, where if we look around us and abroad in other countries, people are spiritually dead and going to hell? I'm so blessed that there's some of us in here that are going, and they're going. And it's that gives me life. But do we have that passion? Do we have that burden? Because that will be, you'll be in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will give you that burden. But we can't all go. Does that make sense too? Let's be in what the Holy Spirit calls us. Okay, the gate. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. Now, could it be that the gate is Jesus and the cross? And then the way is the living in the resurrection power through Jesus Christ. See, the gate is straight. That straight means it's very narrow. And it is so narrow that you hardly even fit through. In fact, maybe I should word it that you, your flesh, will not fit through. All luggage, all baggage must be left behind. It's so narrow. It's through the cross. We leave it at the cross. Because Jesus said, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up the cross daily and follow me. I don't mean follow me. So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. If you do not forsake all that you have, you cannot be my disciple. It doesn't mean you can't have it. You have to forsake it. It's got to be at the cross. We can't be hanging on to it. The clingage. You see, when we see life in the light of eternity, then it becomes more easy to yield my job, my finances, my family, my ministry, my reputation, my goals. When we see it's not about me. It's not what I appear, and it's not even about what does this make Bria look like. That shouldn't even cross our minds because we're so focused. What does this make Jesus look like? Are we doing how Jesus would do it if he'd be here? Am I living how Jesus would live? I have to watch myself. We can get so wrapped up in it's got to look this way and it's got to be this way when Jesus says, come, it's all about me. It's not about you. It's about me. You follow me. I'll come to the abide in me. So there's another gate. Yeah. Then Jesus said unto them again, most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. He's the gate. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and he will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does come. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly. This was one of the scriptures that came to me as I was reading that. It was like a light bulb went on when then this scripture came to me. It's just, now I see it differently. So leave it all at the cross and enter the way that leads to life. By the way, I'm going to show you a lot of scripture. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. It's not through what I do. That is why we're not saved by our doing. We're hidden in Christ. Our life should be hidden in Christ. And out of that, we're almost helpless. Christ and the Spirit just moves us. And we're so enveloped in him, that's just who we are. And when that's where we're at, when we're enveloped in Christ, my life is hidden in Christ, I'll be obedient to him. It's just a life of obedience to him. Now the way is narrow. That means it is contracted, it is pressed like grapes, is what that means. You see, when we're on this way, don't think it's going to be this easy squeezy life, it's a hard life. And I don't mean that to discourage you, but it's not this prosperity. It's not a prosperity gospel. That everything just goes good for you. No, as we grow, then I love what Leighton has shared. You know, he continues to cleanse us. And he continues to press us. And he continues to press us like you press grapes. You want to get all the good juice out of it you can. But he wants to get all the bad juice out of us that he can. And he keeps pressing. He keeps refining. He keeps refining. That's why the way is hard. Because it doesn't always feel good. It doesn't always feel good when we're pressed. But yet, when you come out purer, more like him, it just gives you another boost of energy is to continue on. That's why we don't stop. Because our view is in light of eternity. That's why we don't give up. We keep going because in light of eternity, it's worth it. It's worth for Jesus Christ. Everything, anything is worth for Jesus Christ. I've been sanding too much corian and I got it in my throat. But that'll, I guess, keep me a little calmer. Another scripture. Here's a way that Jesus encouraged his disciples. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world, while we're here, you have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Isn't that encouraging for us? Because this will lead us into, I'll be coming to the abiding. In the midst of the tribulations, in the midst of these hard times, this hard way, we can still have peace, that perfect peace that is found in Jesus Christ. In him, we are safe and secure. Regardless what happens. But we must abide in him. John 15:1 came to my mind then about this way. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. Bears, it doesn't produce. For without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them in the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done to you for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, that your joy may be full. And I was talking about obedience. Here's the commandment. You will keep, if you love me, this is one verse I didn't get in here. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And so here it is. If you keep my commandments, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that they lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. And here's that commandment of abiding in his love. And so do we, as a brethren, love each other as Christ loved us, loves us. May I take it further? Do we love the brethren, not just Berea? Every tribe, tongue, and nation is who John saw there. It wasn't just the Mennonites. Do we love the brethren the way Jesus loves them? This is the sad part. Way back, you know, we're kind of stuck in our way. Let's go back to Jacob Ammon and Menna Simons. Did they lay down their lives for each other? Or did they split ways? Now we have Amish and we have Mennonites. Totally different group of people. Is that God's will? When in Acts you read, it would be the church of Napanee, it'd be the church of New Paris, it'd be the church of Bourbon, church of Locke, church of Bremen. To me, it's concerning. Another place Jesus said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. That leaves nothing left of you to love yourself and love my desires and love my ways." It's His. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. It's love. Is my life motivated by love? Is that what motivates me? Is Christ's love that I am so full of, that I am abiding in, just motivates me to do what I'm doing? That's where you're on the right way. That's when it's noticed by the Father. That's when we're the faithful, good and faithful servant. Is when we're abiding in His love, and that is what motivates us to be doing what we're doing. And in that, we're obedient to Him. We're in His way, in His will. But when we don't abide in Jesus, spiritually, we wither and die. And in Him, we can be like that river that has one focus, and that focus is Jesus Christ. And in Him alone, am I worthy for eternal life. So my question is, are you on the right way, the only way, which leads to life? If not, I urge you to take it to the cross. Enter through into the abundant life that is in Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Our kind Heavenly Father, we thank You for the work that is done at the cross. That Your Son Jesus came, died on the cross, shed His blood for my sin, and has cleansed me from all unrighteousness. And Father, not only that, I am so grateful for that resurrection power that is on the other side of the cross, when we can pass through the cross, and on the other side, we can live that Romans 6 life, that we're resurrected in the power of the resurrection. That's where we receive that life that is above all other lives. And Father, where there's hearts that question, just be real. Just be real to them right now. Where they're not running in fear. But that it might be a time of confirmation that yes, they are on the right way. Or if they're not on the right way, Father, just show them. And show them in your love and in your safe way. Lord, you are so safe. That in you, we can trust. And Father, we just pray for all of us that you would continue to draw us closer and closer to you. Just keep pressing upon us that all the dung would be removed from us. That people around us can see your reflection in us. That daily they can see Jesus, knowing that we spend time with Jesus because we're abiding in Jesus. So Father, help us. It's only through you, in you. You've chosen us. It's your work. And may we not be lazy and just sit. But may we be able to be moved by your Spirit to accomplish your will. And that we remain in your way, the truth. And that is where life is. So Father, bless each one for coming. May you receive all the honor and the glory. May your name be lifted up because you are the Most High. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.